This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
One other item of note, Bob, in the theme of today's show, is that people are like, why don't you get Jerry Dulac on the air? Because he has a contract with the competing station. That's why, if I may interject with that. But let's move to the Pirates. The Tommy Pham era has begun, Bob. Are you excited about this? They've signed him. What's the deal limits?
It's a one-year deal worth just over $4 million.
So they still have gone since 2016 without giving a multi-year free agent deal. I guess if you would have told me this, 5 years ago, I would have liked it. But he's coming off a year in which, what do you have, 9 home runs last year, Bob?
Yep, 9 home runs. He's going to be 37 in March, which means he'll be 37 for the year. And again, it's just a guy in right field. Now, Randall Grichuk signed with, I think it was Arizona. Arizona the other day? And it was like a 1 year, 5 point something. I would rather have Randall Grichuk for another, if you're going to play the game like this. But this is normally the way the business is done with Ben Cherington. He waits until late into the offseason as it heads into the spring training part of the schedule to sign guys who are looking for jobs because they haven't had one. And thus the market comes down. You don't have to put a lot of money or term into a deal like this, and you end up getting what you get. He's been a well-traveled guy, Tommy Pham.
How many teams has he played for?
He played for 3 last year.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is his 10th team, Bob. He's played for a third of the league, for God's sakes. Yeah. I don't know that this solves it for me. It could still be Ron Cook's son Billy out there, for all I know, right?
Listen, they had an opportunity to get some other guys of bigger resumes, and they didn't want to do that. So all you have to do is look at the payrolls about some of these teams. The Dodgers and Mets already well over $300 million, and the Dodgers have actually more money to spend because they're deferring everything. And it's just, I mean, what are the Pirates? It's $60-some million now as a payroll? That's it?
Is it going to be lower than last year's?
I don't know.
It's projected to be.
Trending in that direction.
Trending in that direction. Last year was right around 80.
Holy bird milk.
We are family, Bob.
What
Welcome,
do you
Tommy Pham.
Family. What do
you, oh, I like that.
We are family.
What do you think of this move, Limits?
2019 is smiling somewhere. I mean, Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier, other than Andrew McCutchen, are the
My
two
God,
big additions.
I forgot about Adam Frazier. Like, what are they doing, Bob? I keep thinking someone's gonna turn on the lights or tap us on the shoulder and say, we got you. This whole offseason has been a hoax. These aren't really the moves that we made. We didn't bring in an aging Tommy Frazier, an ancient Andrew McCutchen, and an even ancienter or close to it Tommy Pham and Spencer Horwitz as our new first baseman. That didn't really happen.
That was
happen.
The biggest move, and that
We're
was
punking
it.
You.
Yep, and it's not going to lead to anything different. And again, wasted opportunity for a pitching staff that can be elite, at least one of the better teams' starting rotation in the National League, and you're not supporting it in any way. Now, they will tell you that they believe that Horwitz is going to be a good player. I hope they're right because they need him to be. And Pham is what he is. He's a well-traveled veteran who, you know, he's going to share duties out there probably with Sawinski and who else. They'll have a trio of people out there in right field, I would imagine.
Josh Palacios.
Yeah, all those kind of guys. But we've seen that movie over and over again. So
this is a disaster.
They haven't really upgraded anything. In fact, if anything, you could say they've maybe have gone backwards, given what the staff can do as a rotation.
This is a disaster, Bob.
But I don't think it's going to change.
All right, I'm going to give you an over-under here. If the infield is Spencer Horwitz, he had 12 homers last year and 328 at-bats. He's 27. He's never been a starter. It's not like that never happens, that a guy in his late 20s suddenly becomes a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's somewhat rare. He hit 12 home runs last year. Our friend Nick Gonzalez, how many home runs did he have, a limitless wonder? 7, I believe?
Less than 10.
Am I right about that?
I think it was right around 9 or 10, yeah.
Okay, so there's 12, and I think he had 7. Yes, he had 7 in almost 400 at-bats. That's 19, Bob. Key Brian Hayes, what did he have, 2? How many did he hit limits?
I don't think you can expect him to do it with his back being what it is.
Is his back any better?
I'm sure it is to start the season. But,
you know. I hope it is. Do they even know what was wrong? Anybody?
I mean, he's gonna be what he is. He's a solid defensive player who won't hit for power.
All right, we're up to 19 and then 8 for Kiner Falefa if he's your shortstop. So 19 and 8 by my calculations is 27. And then how many for Key Brian Hayes last year?
He hit 4.
They had 31 home runs across their entire infield. Bob, I'm going to give you an over-under for the Steelers' entire starters, the guys who play the majority of the time. This doesn't count like if they bring back Will Craig or something like that. Were you there for the reverse rundown day,
that
Bob?
That was ridiculous. Jared Barton, our producer, was sitting in the front row, and he got a bird's-eye view of it. And he was actually on camera with this facial gesticulation. We're like, what? It was one of the worst plays.
I'll never forget. I was in here with Ron, and it was an afternoon game.
Yeah.
And I was sort of distracted. Big surprise there. And he kept saying, you got to watch this. And he never said that. He would never come over and say something in a game or on TV. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, you have to watch this. You're not going to believe what just happened. And I couldn't comprehend what happened as I was watching it. I had to watch it like 10 times. I'm like, did he just start a rundown between home and first going back toward home? Did that just happen for the first time in the history of professional baseball? Or am I hallucinating? Oh, it did, Bob. Oh, it did.
And then it got worse.
What happened at the end of the play? He tried to throw
the guy.
Threw
it back to the first, and there was no one there, and it went in the right field. So, oh, yeah, it was a simple play, really.
Didn't he throw it to home first, and they missed the tag
right,
at home, and then the catcher overthrew the first
because
nobody
had,
was at first.
Yeah, they still could have gotten it out, and there's no one at first. So, one of the
when you take out, like, you know, the time of year, postseason, whatever, like Buckner's plays, the worst blunder. But in terms of just the sheer magnitude of the blunder, was that the worst one in baseball history?
It might be. It certainly might be. I mean, the one on Buckner, I understand, you know, just a quality player who put up so many great numbers, had a brain fart there, went right through his legs. That happens. Chico Lean had one in a very critical
game.
Yeah, I mean,
that's called an error.
Right.
You know
that's
what
an
I
error.
Mean?
It happens.
And there have been some horrible mental errors. There have been.
This was a big mental error.
This was on a different level. Limits. He's been feverishly searching for this.
Is this going to be the kaleidoscopes?
This is the Cubs broadcast. I'm looking for the Pirates broadcast. Here's the Cubs.
I've never heard this.
There's the Cubs first.
Baez hits it on the ground to third. Gonzalez. This is so good. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You got to be kidding me. You've got to be
they
kidding me.
They stole a run. You have got to be kidding me. Javi Baez.
Keep going. Go. Go. Think you're invisible.
Is this radio? Because if it is, it's
that
a bad
job.
That
was the TV call.
I was going to say, because I didn't know
what
was going on there.
Nobody knew what happened. Will Craig was never mentioned in that. They probably didn't know who he was. That is amazing, Bob. What was I saying? Oh, the entire infield last year.
31 home runs.
31. So yeah. I'm going to give you guys an over-under for Horowitz, Gonzalez, Kiner Falefa, and Key Brian Hayes. 39 and a half homers for the entire Pirates infield.
I'm going to go under.
Limits?
I'm going to go under right now.
Okay. Okay. Think about what we just said. There are other teams who have third basemen or maybe shortstops or first basemen who do that by themselves.
Right.
Pete Alonso, who just resigned with the Mets.
See, I would have done that deal here. I don't care that he's not maybe what he used to be.
Oh, my God. So would I.
2 years, $64 million, 32 a year. You have the money to do that.
At this rate, honest to God, I think you could bring back Will Craig and he would hit more home runs.
Here's the 0-2 home and a swing and a ground ball on to third base. He took a neck-high pitch and hit it on the ground to third. Now Baez running back toward home plate.
Tag him.
Tag him quickly. And what did Craig do there? They get a run out of that. And now they got to get the out at first. And they throw it into right field. That's going to get a run for the Cubs. Oh, my. What a loony play. And he's in at second base. Just tag him out. What was that? The Cubs are going to get a run, and Baez is safe at second base on a routine ground out to third. Oh, the calliopes can be heard from here to Sewickley.
A loony play.
That is one of my favorite Joe Block calls of all time.
Well, it was a loony play.
He did a great job calling that.
Tag him.
Bob. The use of the word calliopes really makes that, does it not?
It really is. You didn't expect that word to come out.
I need to hear that whole thing again. I've been a little cranky today yet again. I've been up since 5. Let's hear the whole thing again, Bob.
Here's the 0-2 home and a swing and a ground ball on to third base. He took a neck-high pitch and hit it on the ground to third. Now Baez running back toward home plate.
Tag him.
Tag him quickly. And what did Craig do there? They get a run out of that, and now they got to get the out at first. And they throw it into right field. That's going to get a run for the Cubs. Oh, my. What a loony play. And he's in at second base. Just tag him out. What was that? The Cubs are going to get a run, and Baez is safe at second base on a routine ground out to third. Oh, the calliopes can be heard from here to Sewickley.
I can't get enough of it, Bob.
Oh.
I can't.
But that's a perfect call for what was. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, right? And some days something wild happens, and ultimately it's what you see, and your feelings will dictate what you say. And
I don't think the word calliopes would have come to me in a million years. It's a great call.
Really is. It's unfortunate it took that play to get that call.
All right, I'll lower it to 35 and a half across the entire infield. Horowitz, Gonzalez, Kiner Falefa, and Hayes will hit a combined over under 35 and a half homers.
Under.
I'm going to say over.
Slightly over.
Nick Gonzalez, I think, has 10 plus that helps carry that number.
Oh, boy. I think I'm going to go under. I don't trust Hayes' back. Kiner Falefa sort of backslid into the hitter he's been his whole career after having an outlier first half for Toronto. And then Spencer Horowitz, does he have a track? I don't even think he has a track record of power in the minors, does he?
Can Henry Davis play first base?
How about Rodriguez?
It's a shame that we're not mentioning Henry Davis at all.
It's
gotten to the point where it's almost like, okay, that's it. It's done. Is it really that? Is it done? Can they not do anything to change the dynamic of this whole thing?
Well, based on your observation, here's the thing. Henry Davis torches AAA pitching, but every time we talk to Shelty or somebody like that in baseball, they tell us there's never been as big a gulf between AAA and the majors. Like, I get that, but still, when I see someone with an OPS like that's close to 1,000 in the minors, in AAA, how can he come up here and have that turn into, you know, some of the worst at-bats we've ever seen?
Well, I don't know about you, but given what this all looks like, I would just prefer them not signing Tommy Pham and putting Henry Davis in right field and just say, go play. You're our number one pick overall here. I'm not going to – at some point, it's on you, and we're going to give you the chance. Play.
You know what? I'm sort of there myself. As long as you're not building around schemes with like proven veterans, at some point he's the number one overall pick. But here's the other thing, Bob. when they've given him an extended stretch, he becomes literally unplayable. It's not like, oh, Henry Davis is struggling, man. He's like at 220 with five homers in the last, 30 games. No, it's like Henry Davis is 0.98 and he strikes out every time and we can't put him on the field. You know what I mean?
Well, then fix him. Something's got to change here. I mean,
but generally speaking, I still think you have to find out about this guy.
That's what I'm saying. It's on him now. You're going to go out there, play. We're going to work with you, but you're going to play. I'm not taking anything away from you right now. You're a right fielder. We'll see where it goes.
Spencer Horwitz has 16 across AAA, 775 at-bats. He has 16 homers, Bob.
So that's 12 is what you should expect then, based on that.
If 12. Well, he did have 12 in the majors last year, I guess. I'm depressed, Bob.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a shame because there are going to be some games that are well pitched and they end up being losses, and that'll strain a young pitching staff too. You should do everything in your power to try to support them right now because they're going to be pretty good, I would think.
This is why I wrote for the Post Gazette this morning that I've been here for 35 years in this town, and I've never seen such across the board disillusion with the ownership of our sports teams. Like Bob Nutting, before him, Kevin McClatchy, that's a given. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're losing at historic paces, that's just a given. However, it's underscored right now because they have this generational talent that they abjectly refuse to put pieces around. So even the Bob Nutting, bashers are especially irritated this offseason because of the presence of Skeens and their unwillingness to do anything. Then you have Fenway Sports Group, and nobody knows who they are. I just talked to a very prominent person. I won't say what his name was, Bob. And I asked him if he knew who Teddy Werner was, and he said no. Nobody knows who they are. And I put that in my story, and Matt Wenzel's, because I put Tom Werner, I guess, is the guy. And Matt Wenzel from the Post-Gazette texted me and said, Teddy Werner is the point man and he's at every game. To which I said, good for him. Nobody knows who he is. FSG feels like they're a distant, cold sort of corporate entity.
And they should be aware of that perception because that's what it is.
Yes, that has not only not really done anything yet. In fact, they seem too comfortable like everybody else. But they've also alienated the face all time of Penguins hockey. We just heard Jay Caulfield talk about that last week, where he said he doesn't see any movement on that front. And he basically said, when you're Mario, if you know Mario, once you get on his bad side and do something that he doesn't like it's going to be a while. Grab a Snickers, right? Bob, you know him too. And Jay also said it's not the same around the arena without Mario. So this new ownership group, still relatively new, comes in, depending on the reporting you believe, and I want to make sure I get back to the Walter Cronkite roots that got raised yesterday here of journalistic ethics. Depending on what you believe here, it would appear that Mario was angry over a relatively small, to you and me, but still probably multi-million dollar deal with FSG.
The principal. It was just the principle of it, not necessarily.
It was the principle of it. So over a pittance of money, really, in the end, FSG alienated Mario Lemieux and will wind up now going through, not because of that, but will wind up sort of ironically losing tens of millions, you have to figure, over the next couple years as they launch this rebuild. So I don't think people, call me crazy, I don't think they're overly thrilled with FSG either. And all we've done since the end of the season is talk about Art and the Steelers and how he seems too comfortable. I've just never seen it, Bob. You've been around here longer than me. I've never seen this widespread disillusion.
Like this. And it's, I understand how sports work. You do too. There are going to be ups and downs, and that happens. But it seems like it's just a willingness to accept it all, and that's not a good sign. You want to go out and do something when you have the ability to do something, and they all do. They all have abilities to change this if they want to.
Right.
That hasn't happened.
And the fact that they don't indicates to me that they're comfortable. And the beginning of my column today was, man, Jeffrey Lurie would sure look good as a Pittsburgh sports owner right now. wouldn't he? And I went back to when he fired Doug Peterson, who had been a player, an assistant coach, and a coach. He was a family member, basically, in the Eagles. He won their only Super Bowl. I mean, this was like Joe Madden for the Cubs. He won their only Super Bowl. And 3 years later, he was gone. And this is what Lurie said. Lurie has been through five coaches in 30 years with the Eagles. That's one every 6 years.
That includes Andy Reid, too.
Yeah.
Who he, you know, they moved away from.
Yeah. They moved away from Andy Reid. And he became great, but they don't seem to be struggling too much these days. A second Super Bowl in 3 years they're going to. He said upon the Peterson firing, Lurie did, if you want to be a leader and make tough decisions, sometimes you have to look toward the future and try to evaluate things unemotionally and arrive at a decision that might make you very uncomfortable, Bob. Very uncomfortable. He said, my allegiance is what will be best for the Philadelphia Eagles and our fans for the next 3, 4, 5 years. If I'm a fan, that's what I want. I want an owner who's perpetually uncomfortable, extremely urgent in what he's doing, and is only looking at that window. 3, 4, 5 years, can we win? And the Eagles are not a coach-centric organization. The Steelers have turned their organization over to coaches. That's what they're about. The coach rules all. The Eagles say, Howie Roseman is our guy. We are a personnel-centric organization with a GM. The coach is coach. We'll buy the groceries, thank you. They're going to coach. That's all they do. And when things just start to go bad, we get pretty dramatic around here. We either fire the coach or, like last year, they forced Sirianni, or at least they fired, I don't know how much of it was forced, both coordinators. That's a team that won 11 games last year and went to the playoffs. And they fired both coordinators. We're sitting here a year later, Bob, just having been embarrassed by the Ravens, and everybody's just sitting around over there.
And similar stories, because the Eagles last year were really good until the final six games of the year, and their whole season fell apart. It's very similar to what's happened here.
Yes, it is, except for the fact that they took drastic action, and the Steelers are doing absolutely nothing, which reminds me of the Pirates, who are doing absolutely nothing, which reminds me, well, not so much of the Penguins, although I want them to do more. At least they're starting to do something. But nobody knows who's running the team. That's a slight problem. And they've alienated no less a figure than Mario.
Yeah. I mean, Dubas is running the team. I don't think there's a question there. But you're talking about ownership being somewhat available to be seen, to make their stamp on it, so that people get to know who they are and what their beliefs are.
Yes.
We haven't really had that opportunity with us.
No.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
That must mean it's time for the Limitless Express. And I'll kick it off this way, Bob. I got a text from my daughter at 10:54 a.m. And it read like this.
Dad. Another butt call? Is that what it's going to be?
This is verbatim. Dad, this is the third day in a row you've called me in class. You have to figure out a way to stop butt dialing me. Limits, why doesn't my phone lock to where if I press stuff, it won't?
If you leave it open to a...
I'm not leaving it open. I press the thing on the side and it gets dark. Look.
Well, then that won't do it. You must
have left it. It does do it still.
No, it doesn't.
Give a password.
Look. That's my set home screen.
Okay, I see it.
And yet, when I put that into my pocket, it butt dials from there.
Well, let me ask you this. When you slide up, do you have a password on it? On your phone? Do you have a password on your phone?
What? What do you mean slide up?
Is there a password on your phone?
Like number?
In other words,
to lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To lock it.
So sometimes, I mean, if you have your Face ID and you still put it in your pocket, and the way that you put it in your pocket, maybe the phone, because you know how you slide up to... sometimes be able to get onto your phone, you know, like for me, like I'll slide up and there I go.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm sure if you put that in like your pocket, maybe your phone feels the if you put it in your pocket, the motion of that turns it onto your phone and then you just start hitting buttons and it hits the phone call.
Well, how do I stop it is the question.
She's not the only one that has gotten butt dials from Joe Starkey. I'll say that before. It's happened to me too.
It says it's unlocked, though. Above in the home screen, there's a thing that indicates it's unlocked, even though it would appear to be locked. Forget it. Can you show me something later?
Yeah, I'll try my best.
All right. Why don't we kick off the Limitless Express with a phone call or two? We are talking about how Pittsburgh is disillusioned maybe with across the board with team ownership like rarely seen before in this town. Who do we have?
Here is Matt in Bethel Park.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Joe, you know, you're absolutely spot on. We have three owners in this town who just don't seem to care about winning. They have three head coaches who don't seem to have a message that comes clear anymore. You know, I was born in July of 91. You know, I'm used to the Pirates not being good. But, you know, right now I'm just not super excited for the future. I just don't see it. You know, I grew Donnie football. I know says all the time about, you know, Art Rooney, too, being just as bad as Nutty, and I'm right there with him. You know, he's in his own world. I don't know what to do anymore. It's super frustrating, and listening to you guys help, so I appreciate it.
Of the three teams, which one do you think, which one, if there's one, that is going to be back in a playoff sort of situation or beyond quicker? Which one of these three? I think I know the answer, but I'm interested to hear what you say.
You know, Bob, I think I would have to say the Penguins. I agree. You know, Fenway Sports, I don't have a clue who any of the owners are. You know, Dubas's record isn't as good, you know, as it could be. I like the trade to kind of kick it off. So I'd have to say the Penguins. That's probably what you were thinking too. I'm not sure.
Actually, it was only because I'm not so sure until they saw the quarterback is big with me, and until that changes, I don't know.
I just thought of a new segment. Thing, Bob,
but I would agree.
I thought of a new segment for when you're in, and you can pick the day. Ask Bob anything. People can ask you personal questions. They can ask about your history. Would you be up for that?
Well, it depends on how personal you get.
Well, you can always reject the question. You reserve that right. Do you like that idea for a segment, Limits?
I do. I feel like if we go a little bit too personal with Bob, though, that might be pushing a little bit of boundaries.
But we don't know Bob well enough. That's the thing.
What do you mean you don't know me well enough?
That you have a veneer about you, a sportscaster veneer that we need to start chipping away at. I want to know Bob the person more. And I think Pittsburgh does, too.
I think you know me. I'm
getting
much
there.
What I see is what
there's something deeper.
I
do you feel
know
the
more.
Same way, Limits?
Yeah, I want to know more about Bob.
I know. Everybody does. I feel like we all do. The whole town does.
You ever see that movie, What About Bob, that Bill Murray's in? I want to know what's up about Bob today. What's up with Bob last week? What's up with Bob tomorrow?
I just want to know what you do in your daily life. I want to know what your childhood was like. I want to know what your sports career was like. I want to know a lot of things, Bob. Your future hopes and dreams. You're still a relatively young man.
Okay.
All of that.
Sure.
All right. Ask Bob Anything premieres next week.
Sounds Wednesday. Good to me. Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday.
Yeah.
One more call.
Here is Dave in North Huntington.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. I'd have to agree with the last caller. I'm older, actually. So I actually remember the Pirates winning the 71 series with Steve Blass jumping into the arms and all that. Steelers. I mean, it has become so frustrating now, it's beyond belief. I never thought I would see the Steelers be closer to the Pirates as far as ownership in my life. Art, like, wake up, dude. Like, what is your freaking problem? It's frustrating because it's not going to change until they get rid of Tomlin. It's not the quarterback. It's the coach. So I think they're next to win a championship because hopefully Art will retire in 3 to 5 years. And Danny, pray to God, is younger and knows what it's going to take to change this and win. It's just so frustrating. I can't explain it.
Well, I mean, I don't see any of that changing, since Tomlin is on for 3 years, this one coming up and two more. And they're just not going to be in a position. Although they could. I mean, listen, it's a very profitable business, this football business. If they had a year where they didn't like what they saw and it got worse, who knows? Maybe the pressure that would be building would have an effect. But, again, to me, we'll see what happens in this offseason. Like the Pirates, you got to measure by this offseason. Pirates have done nothing. I would expect the Steelers to be extremely active to try to switch this around. I don't know what that necessarily means, but I think they'll spend money. I think they'll make trades. I think they'll do a lot of things that we may not expect.
All right. Let's do a 2-minute drive here with the Limitless Express. Let's do this, Limits. Just give us quick topics. Bob, quick answers. Here we go.
Let's start with Penguins President of Business Operations, Kevin Acklin. Bob, he is stepping away. He's been with the organization for 8 years, but it was announced this morning he will no longer be a part of the franchise. What are your thoughts on that?
I was surprised by that because I know he's in there doing as much as he can in his role. His role has nothing to do with player acquisition or anything of that nature. It's about the experience of going there and doing the things in the community. I thought he did a pretty good job. But I keep in mind, last year they moved on from 30 to 40 people in the offseason when they didn't make the playoffs for 2 in a row. So maybe this is something that will indicate there is more of it coming.
I've never met him. I wish him well. You always wonder when things like that happen, what was the story? Like you just said, are they just looking to clear out more people? Were they dissatisfied? Was it simply him wanting to leave, having better options? I don't know, Bob. And in my finest journalistic fashion, I'm not going to speculate on that. I simply wish him well. I didn't know him. Did you?
Yeah. I really like Kevin a lot. But I also know that this ownership group is different than the last one. So how they handle business seems to be, again, they budget for playoffs, Joe. If you budget for playoffs and the budget isn't met, that means you lose money.
Well, what do you want him to do about it?
That's what I said. what did I want with any of the guys who were released last year?
Yeah, they still have the head. They still have the head coach.
That represents a very small percentage of their payroll. You know what they got rid of.
Yeah.
But they have. I guess they feel they have to do something.
Next,
Browns cornerback Denzel Ward. God bless you, Bob. Says that the Myles Garrett trade request has a huge impact on him. Honestly, saying I want to play with Myles Garrett. He's a Hall of Fame player. I came into the league with him. He came into the league and he was on my team and that type of guy. I've been talking to him and I know he wants out, but you just got to hear where he's coming from. He wants to win, so we'll see what the future holds. Ward said he wants to be in Cleveland, but he also wants to win, and he's keeping an eye on what Miles has going on and what he's doing.
Man, that could be a domino effect. What if Ward wants to leave? Is he signed? I don't even know for how long.
I think he is under contract, but I don't think it's that long, and he may be in the same boat eventually here.
Well, we're talking about ownership, and I'm certainly willing to acknowledge that there's way worse owners in the NFL. Lots of them. And those are the teams the Steelers beat. Unfortunately, when they go up against a good team, they don't even compete in the playoff. But there are many worse owners, and Jimmy Haslam is one of them. And the other thing, Bob, did you see where Myles Garrett said he consulted with LeBron James before requesting that trade?
I didn't see that, no.
What do you
I think it's interesting, too, getting back to the ownership, too. Haslam was once part of the Steelers as a minority, and so was David Tepper.
Yeah.
Both guys have gone on and not done well with their own ownership situations, which I don't know what that means other than...
Well, it's like the Bill Belichick coaching tree. There's some, but people always think... It's always funny to me, too, when, you know, there's a coordinator under a certain coach, could be Belichick or anybody, where they think, man, look at the success they're having. Let's get a little of that secret sauce from that head coach through his coordinator. The only problem is he's not the head coach. So if you're looking for whatever the Steelers' secret sauce used to be, like when they brought in Haslam, you're not guaranteed that.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is those two guys have operated much differently than the way Art has operated, in that they've gone in and Jimmy Haslam has done some really strange things that have resulted in bad outcomes. And I think Tepper has done his share of it too.
Yeah.
It goes opposite of what the stability model,
although,
at least
although
here.
Haslam has kept the coach around longer than usual in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's unusual. But I think, again, a lot of this had nothing to do with him. I still think it was all him, the owner. And the
Me
owner
too.
Knows. He looks in the mirror and says, I messed this up.
It's where it all begins in many ways in sports, is with the ownership person or the ownership group. And it ain't going well around here, but yes, not as bad as Cleveland. If you take solace in that, it's not as bad as Cleveland. Limits?
Wanted to get this one last one here because it's fascinating. The inaugural flag football event 2 years ago received 6.3 million people that watched it. This year, the percentage dropped by 18% to 4.7 million. People are still watching the flag football game, but they're not nearly as interested, Joe, as they were a couple of years ago. It seems like it's getting stale.
It's funny. I actually was more interested and enjoyed it. Or was that the dodgeball? I can't remember.
Probably dodgeball. And the flag football did nothing for me. It never did, never will.
Minka had a hell of a game, Bob.
Oh, good.
He had two interceptions in that game. One on a two-point conversion. That doubles his total for the past 2 years.
They had wide receivers playing quarterback. They had quarterbacks playing safe. I mean, what are we doing?
It's horrifying. Thank you, Limits. That was good.
Thank you kindly.
No. Thank you.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.